Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and as I think about the Holy Spirit and His role in our lives, I'm always reminded of one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. It's in Exodus 33, and Moses has led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and, you know, there's that miraculous story, the parting of the Red Sea and the daring escape into freedom and all that God did to wrestle them away from the grip of Pharaoh and move them to the promised land. Well, they're in the desert. They've received the law. And Moses is talking with God. And he's talking with God about the people and how they've become stiff-necked and all of those sort of things. I mean, their rebellion didn't take long to get into full gear as far as that was concerned. But Moses was still interacting with God, and he's saying, if I've found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. So Moses makes an appeal to God on behalf of the people, on behalf of himself. And then God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow, what a promise. Yeah. I mean, that is just absolutely amazing. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses responds. He says, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? What made Israel unique? Well, it wasn't the law. It wasn't those Ten Commandments or any of the other ceremonial laws, although that did separate them from the other nations. But what made them unique was the fact that God's presence was among them, that God was in their midst. Well, fast forward to the New Testament. How has that reality that Moses experienced translated to us? Well, it's translated to us in the fact that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He's the distinguishing mark in our lives, not the things that we do, not our obedience, not anything that we can brag about. It's the Holy Spirit. If we love people, it's because the Holy Spirit has poured His love into our hearts. If we forgive people, it's because the Holy Spirit has moved in our hearts to pass on the forgiveness of God to someone else. If we're compassionate to someone, that's the work of God's Spirit inside of us. All of those things that we say, describe the Christian life, the Holy Spirit is the source of them. He's the distinguishing mark in our lives. And boy, that's such an exciting truth. And Moses, that's what he longed for. That's what he desperately wanted, to know that God's presence was there. If God's presence is there, then he knows he's found favor. Well, guess what, folks? God's presence is in your life. Mm-hmm. And the result of that is you can know that you have found favor in God's sight. He's come to dwell inside of you. You have His indwelling presence with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the good news of the gospel.
Sure is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper. We welcome you to today's edition. Join us at 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about the Holy Spirit, if you have a question about how to live by the Spirit, if you have a question about a particular Bible passage or a problem situation in your life, we encourage you to go ahead and pick up the phone and call right now, 1-800-677-9377. We would love to direct you into the Word of God so that you can find help and hope for your situation.
Yes.
Well, let's start today in Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Kathleen listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, how are you? God bless you. I have a question, please. It's upsetting because, first of all, it's a curse when I speak to someone. They're nice people, but they sometimes curse. And I know I don't belong in their company. I know this, but I'm trying to minister. And, for example, I apologize, the F word, they say. And, periodically, and I'm going, oh, my God, I can't take it. I can't take it. Maybe I should just say to them, listen, please, do me a favor. Please don't curse. You know, that, first of all, God doesn't like that. It offends him. And, you know, it's not really, I don't know how would I do this? I mean, that's why I called. Maybe you can help me. There are two people that I know that they're nice, and I'm trying to reach them and minister, but they frequently use that word, and it strikes my heart because I know that that's not of God. And if it's bothering me, I could just picture what it's doing to the heart of God. I can't. And I don't want to give up on them. Yeah. So is there any advice you could give me?
Well, Kathleen, I'll point you to a passage of Scripture that's helped me in those exact same situations. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before I read that passage to you, I just want to say I feel your heart, and I know that you have a real concern for these people, and that you want them to know Christ, and you want them to know Christ in a very real way. So bless you for that. But here's the passage, Kathleen. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, starting in verse 11, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." And here's the conclusion to all that, Kathleen. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer." So knowing Christ, Kathleen, enables us to see people, others, from a completely different perspective. Paul goes on into this passage, and he says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, and that ministry is this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. So God understands the lost world. He knows the reason why they do what they do, and that reason is because they're dead spiritually. They're separated from his life. So the result of that are all of these sins, foul language, all kinds of activities. I mean, we know what sins are, and you're encountering that. And, of course, in today's society, cussing is just a part of it, isn't it? I mean, it is so commonplace, it's unbelievable.
They think it's normal, I'm sorry. Yeah. They think it's just normal to talk that way, that
absolutely.
It's part of life, and it's not.
Absolutely. But what I want to help you see is that there's a greater problem that they have that's really at the root of why they do what they do. And that problem is the fact that they're dead spiritually.
Yes.
So you were just seeing evidence of their lost condition. So look at them in terms of their spiritual state, the fact that they are separated from the life of God. That will move you to have compassion and pity upon them, and to be able to look through the sins basically to the heart of who they are. And with that, you can better deliver the gospel message.
Amen. Because I know that, you know, I look at them and I go, there's so much, you could not be the, and I know good works is not going to count in the kingdom of the Lord, but, you know, I look at them and I go, you think you're so misled that you think because you curse with one side of your mouth and do things you're not supposed to do and then do a good deed and that's good enough and then go to church on Sunday. What are you doing? You know, and my heart breaks as far as compassion for them because you're lost, exactly what you said. They are so lost.
Yeah.
And this word constantly, and it's as if the enemy knows that's one word. I mean, I don't like cursing, period, but I'm not judgmental. I won't do that. I was years ago in the world myself. But, you know, it strikes you very hard, and it's just a terrible word, and, of course, the enemy is aware of that. So when I'm trying to reach somebody, a minister, he just throws that out, uses with them, and so I'm going, oh, God, please, please, I need to get some advice that when I want to minister and help them. We all need help. We were all lost souls.
That's exactly
right. And my heart is breaking for them because I know that in there, the light of the Lord is in them.
Well, what I would suggest to you is just memorize this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:16. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Let God shape your perspective. Let God shape your viewpoint on what's really going on with these people. And I think that will give you an understanding of their situation and move you in the right way as far as how to speak to them. And how to connect with them.
Kathleen, it's also perfectly legitimate for you to ask them not to use that word while they're talking with you, quite apart from anything else. You know, it's perfectly legitimate. Not in a judgmental way. Just say, please, I prefer you don't say that.
No, I'm not that way at all. But I need to get past that word so I can minister to you. It's like if you do that.
Yes.
And it's something I don't like. And I'm going, I need help because how am I supposed to move on and minister the word of God to them? When you keep putting this word up there, out there, it's as if you're hurting me, like I said before. And if you hurt me, what are you doing to God?
Well, actually,
and so we need to stop this. I need to ask them.
Actually,
I need to say,
God
please.
Is not the least bit intimidated or upset by their language. He loves them so much that he sent Jesus. And
Amen.
So he's not going to turn his back on them just because they talk with terrible language, but he loves them enough to bring you and other people like you into their lives so they can finally start to hear who Jesus is and maybe respond
to him.
Amen,
and it's what I want, because I asked the Lord before I leave this earth, use me.
I'm
going to let you go because I know you have other callers.
Well, Kathleen, let me do this. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of a book called Love Is, and I think it'll be a big help to you. Thanks for your call. You hang on. Well, let's go to Queens and talk with AC. Hi, AC.
Oh, greetings. I got on. This is a blessing.
Well, glad you did.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to say to you guys, it's a real pleasure. And I really enjoy how the Lord is just working through your hearts because you're making the word in a very simplistic way that it resonates very well with me. Thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for those encouraging words. We appreciate that. What's on your mind today?
And I can relate to what the lady was just talking, because I work in the construction trade, and I tell you, guys are always using foul language.
Oh, that's
and
just
what
hard,
I have been
hard
doing
for me to believe, AC, that they would cuss out on the construction site.
Oh, yeah.
Say it isn't so.
And I've been doing it for years. What I have been doing is I just allow the Lord to use me. I pray for them before I even go to work because I know I'm going to be in that environment. And I tell you, the Lord has been good because he flows through me. And I don't know, they their spirit picks up on it. Because sometimes I can walk in a room and it seems like they just stopped cursing. And it doesn't happen all the time, but I do keep them in prayer, and I would encourage the lady to do so with that as well. But my challenge is this. I was married for 25 years, and about 2 years ago, me and my wife, we were going through ups and downs, and she decided, and we're both Christians, we love the Lord, and she decided she wants out of the marriage. And of course, it just broke my heart, and I tried everything to convince her otherwise, and I was praying about it. I got on my knees. I just asked the Lord to, you know, have mercy on the situation. Maybe there could be reconciliation. I even asked her to let's go to some counseling and see if we can work this out. But her heart was so hardened. And then she started the whole process of the divorce. She had the papers and everything. And, of course, it broke my heart. And that was 2 years ago. But since then, you know, we have been talking in terms of just taking care of business. Because we have a house and we have children. But her heart hasn't changed. She continues to maintain this hard-hearted attitude, and she just turned into a whole different human being. So, you know, I have a very good friend of mine who's a pastor. I have been staying, you know, shrouded from people who love the Lord. But it's been a rough journey for me.
Well, I can only imagine, AC, and you know, I know just through years of working one-on-one with people and specifically in marriage situations, when a separation happens, when a divorce occurs, that's some of the deepest pain that a person can experience, that rejection. Because 25 years ago, AC, y'all stood together and y'all covenanted together that you were going to be with one another until death do you part, through better, for worse, all of those sort of things, and you became one. That's what the Bible says. The two of you became one, and now she up and leaves, and it's like she's just ripped a part of you away from you, and that's a hurtful thing. But are you all officially divorced, AC? Or
yeah, she filed the papers, okay. And you know, you can't be in a marriage alone, so. He has a person who's rejecting me, and there's nothing I could do to change her mind. So I prayed about it, and the Lord just placed it on my heart to, you know, just let it go. Don't try to hold on to someone who doesn't want you.
Well, he's saying you won't be able to change your mind, and the more you try, the worse it's going to become. That's, you know, that's we feel like we have to do something, especially us guys. You know, I got to do something. Got to get her back. Got to, you know, pour on the charm and all of those things just to get her back, just to get her looking back my way. But the more we do that kind of stuff, the more distance we put between us. So you're just going to have to put that in God's hands and let God do his work. Was there another person involved? Do you know? Or
not to my knowledge. There was never any infidelity while we were together. I don't know what happened after. Yeah. You know, she actually put the kibosh on the relationship, but
well, I would just. It sounds like y'all are talking. Y'all are, you know, at least are friends to some degree. I would just keep building that relationship on friendship, and allow God to do His work there. But let me do this for you, AC. Let me send you this book on love as well. I think it will be a big help to you as you think about. You know, this whole situation, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your call, AC. You hang on. Well, Richard, we had an interesting question on the Holy Spirit that came in after yesterday's broadcast, and the question is, what is the difference between the Spirit in the Old Testament and the Spirit in the New Testament? You know, how do we distinguish? You know, what did the Holy Spirit do in the Old? What does He do in the New?
Well, the Holy Spirit is the same, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. What changed is our relationship to God. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came and had complete victory over sin and death, the Holy Spirit could not indwell us. We were dead spiritually. The Holy Spirit could be there, just like we were describing, God if you don't go with us. So God was with them, the Spirit was with them, but the Spirit was not in the children of Israel. Now, because of Jesus' double victory and Pentecost, when the promise actually was fulfilled to us, the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of us now, rather than being outside of us, influencing from the outside. It's now renewing from the inside. That's the only difference, and it hinges on the work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and the other thing is, as the Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. he would depart from them.
Yes.
That's why David said, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me.
And it happened to Saul.
Yes. Now, in the New Testament, God has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Once the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, that is a forever thing.
Yes. It's because of Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We certainly thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. Want to remind our listeners of our upcoming conference. Starts tomorrow, Stand 2014. There's still time. If you can come and join us, we would love to see you there. All the information about how to participate is at the website stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. Go take a look. Pray about it. Come join us. I think this is going to be an exciting time. My friends John Lynch, Andrew Farley, Frank Reed, who's been a longtime friend of the ministry, is going to be sharing a little of his story. We're going to have a great time of fellowship, and we would love to see as many people there as we possibly can. So all the information is at stand2014.com. Also want to just acknowledge all of those who stand with us each and every month to financially support Basic Gospel. Without their help, this outreach wouldn't happen. Airtime costs money, and we need people to stand with us. And we have so many faithful people who do stand with us each and every month. They actually participate in what God is doing through this outreach. And so for them, it's as much their ministry as it is anybody else's. And that's the wonder of the body of Christ. So I want to thank all of those who stand with us. And I also want to encourage you, if you have been listening and if this ministry has touched your heart, I want to encourage you to consider joining the Basic Gospel team. Become a Basic Gospel partner. A monthly gift of $20 or $50 or $100 will be a significant investment in this outreach and will reach many people and connect many people to the love of Jesus Christ. All the information on how you can become a Basic Gospel partner is on our website at basicgospel.net. Just click the subscribe link and you will find, the donate link, and you will find all the information right there. But we need people to stand with us. And if you can do something today, we would greatly appreciate it. Well, Richard, it's hard to believe how fast the time goes. Tomorrow, what I'm hoping is that Andrew Farley and John Lynch will be joining us on air. And if that happens, if all of those pieces come together, I'm telling you, it's going to be an explosive broadcast tomorrow. So be sure and tune in tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel as Andrew and John join us. On Friday, we have a special teaching edition of the broadcast. We're going to take a look at spiritual gifts, and that will set the stage for what we'll be discussing next week. Spiritual gifts is a very confusing subject. Are they here or have they disappeared? If they're still here, how do we get them? Do we pray for them? And once we have it, how do we use it? What's its ultimate purpose? So we're going to be talking all about that next week. I think that's going to be an exciting week of programming as well. But thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. Again, if you can help us financially, we would greatly appreciate your support right now. All the information on how to support Basic Gospel is online at basicgospel.net. Also, want to mention, if you are a social media user, if you have a Facebook account or if you have a Twitter account, would you go to our Facebook page and like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? That's just a wonderful way to connect to one another, and we would love to do so. Well, for the whole Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher. So long until tomorrow.